So welcome to our next session on building a and sustaining a reliable new income stream through lottery fundraising. I will hand it off immediately for the introductions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Am I on? Yeah. So thank you very much, everybody, for coming to our session on building and sustaining a reliable income stream through lottery. Just wanted to introduce ourselves. My name is Jill Moore. I am the head of lottery at Make a Smile Lottery and your hospice lottery. We have here Jim Aswek, who is the commercial director at St. Helena Hospice, who can give us a little bit of a background information from a founder's point of view. And we have Tony Bloomfield, who is the operations director at our national charity partner, Blesma, who will give you a little bit of an insight what it's like to be a charity partner running a lottery, part of our lottery from the charity's point of view. So when I agreed to speak at the Be More Digital 2023 conference, I thought that was going to be from my safe little home office behind a screen. I didn't actually realize it'd be live on the stage, but here we are. But I'd like to hand over first to my colleague, Gemma.
Okay, so just to talk to you a little bit about St. Helena. St. Helena was established in 1985, so we've been going for quite a while now. Essentially, we provide specialist palliative and end-of-life care in Northeast Essex. We support all of the patients in Northeast Essex, as well as their family, friends and carers. To put that in perspective, we support a population of about 350,000 and we had over 4,000 patients through our doors last year. What that care looks like, we have an inpatient unit, an 18-bed inpatient unit at the hospice. We also provide a virtual ward and hospice in the home. So we actually go and support people in their home at end of life. We have a 24/7 advice line called Single Point. So at any point anyone wants to ring up and ask questions, sometimes it can be, can I have alcohol whilst I'm having treatment? Sometimes it'd be more kind of questions around affording care and so on. We also have adult and child bereavement support within our hospice as well. So anyone that has lost a parent or a family member or a friend, regardless of whether the hospice has helped them or not, we will support them as well. But like many other charities, we have a growing population. So for us, it's set to kind of double in the next 10 years. Therefore, the amount of care that we need to increase has to support that. What we want to ensure is that everyone has a dignity and a choice at the end of life. With regards to how we are funded, so we only get about 30% of our income from NHS. So everything else in terms of the income that we have, and it costs us about £20 million a year to run our services. Everything else we have to fundraise ourselves. So we do that through a number of core fundraising ways. So we have a fundraising team, we have a retail team where we've got 22 shops, including two cafes and two donation centres. We have lotteries, as Jill's going to talk to you about today. But we also have started to look at a number of commercial ventures, not so much mission related. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Because for us, in order to get that growth, it's really, really important that we start to venture out. So some of those commercial ventures will include domiciliary care that doesn't sit in our patient and family services, that sits under me in commercial. We've started kind of contract cleaning, and there's other ventures that we're starting to look at to make sure we've got that financial security moving forward. So a little bit of where we started in terms of lottery. 2001, St. Helena started their own lottery as a new income stream, like many hospices and charities do. We started that within the area of Northeast Essex, but very quickly we started to realise that actually our expertise of running a lottery and getting that income is something that actually we could support other hospices with. 10 years later, we started to run your hospice lottery. We partnered with a charity, a hospice called Arthur Rank in Cambridge, and we started to take over the running of their lottery. So we started from scratch, recruitment, the admin, the processing, etc., etc., and they are still a hospice partner with us now. Your Hospice Lottery supports hospices across the country. We've got 17 hospices across the country that we support at the minute, and we do everything, as Jill will explain, in terms of the running of their draw. In 2017, we started Make a Smile Lottery. So Make a Smile Lottery, same platform as your hospice lottery, same principles, except for non-hospice related charities. So we have a number of charities that we support, again, across the country. Some of them are national charities, some of them are very local charities. Tony is one of our Make a Smile partners that will talk to you today. We have 19 Make a Smile partners that we support across the country. Some of them we've got here today, Limbless Veterans, we support the RSPCA, we support MS. There's a huge diversity of the number of partners that we support. But for us, it's really, really important that actually we can share some of that expertise and generate income, which we know is really difficult. To put that in perspective, in the last financial year alone, we raised £1.8 million for our partner charities, which we're quite happy about. I think everyone sitting here, and we've heard a lot from kind of all of the talks today, every charity has a fundraising challenge. The demand on us is hugely increasing, whether that is from a service point of view, whether it is to do with a diversity of services, everyone needs charities a little bit more. But actually, for us, it's really, really difficult at the minute, as I'm sure it is with you. There is a huge increase in running costs, whether that's staffing costs, whether it's electricity, whether it's just printing paper and sending out postage. The costs that we have are hugely increasing. So actually, we need to diversify what we're doing. We've also seen that income through donations is declining. You heard from Prince's Trust earlier. I think that's the same for pretty much all of us, that actually the physical number of people supporting us is lower, and that donation point is lower as well. So we're really kind of keen to support other charities with our expertise. Due to the increased costs of income-related activities, new methods are needed to grow income, and we're not alone. If you look at the Blackboard results that came out a couple of weeks ago, 32% of UK charities say that their income decreased in 2022. Traditional fundraising channels such as corporate fundraising, individual giving, are struggling to drive the same results that were seen pre-COVID. And a huge 79% of charities are worried about the economic impact, and many are predicting a drop across multiple income streams in 2023. Anyone sitting here exempt from that, or everyone feels the same? Yeah, okay, good. It's not just us. And I think the important thing is that we get it. We are a hospice ourselves. So we could sit here and talk to you about the struggling income and not be a charity. There are a lot of ELMs are out, which Jill will talk about later. But actually, we get it. We're a hospice. We're a charity. We understand the financial pressures. And actually, we are having to increase income during financially tough times. It's horrible out there. Today, we want to share some of our knowledge and 22 years experience with you in the hope that it will allow you to make an informed decision about whether you should consider lottery as a new income stream for your charity. You may be sitting here with a lottery already. Actually, we do a lot of migrations of lotteries over to our platforms as well. What we tend to see is that there are a lot of charities that run lotteries, but they are cost heavy in terms of the time, the marketing, the recruitment. Actually, we could take a lot of that from you and give you an increased royalty as well. So Jill will take you through lottery benefits.
Thank you very much. So as Gemma's saying, whilst traditional fundraising donations may be declining, actually the Gambling Commission confirmed that money raised for good causes through lottery is still continuing to grow year on year. For many supporters, a £1 a week lottery, which essentially translates in less than £5 a month, is a great and sustainable way to still support their chosen charities. Prize-led supporting through lottery is also a great way for a supporter to get something back whilst they support their charities. Whilst charity lotteries don't give away life-changing prizes, actually the odds of winning are fantastic. So that's another incentive for people to actually play lottery and support their charities. Lottery could essentially be a new income stream for all charities that don't have one yet, giving you a regular income whilst traditional fundraising income may be declining. And being part of lottery societies such as Make a Smile or your hospice lottery essentially has the additional benefit of not having to invest heavily into resource or actually into the recruitment of supporters, whilst obviously traditional fundraising is becoming a lot more costly, the income for partners that we work with remains completely free. So there's a couple of different ways of lottery fundraising that I just want to take you through. So a couple of ways to consider that you could actually have a lottery income. So first of all, you could consider to start your own lottery, a DIY lottery. So for this type of lottery, you would need to consider that you actually need a gambling license. You'd also need the staff resource, the actual staff to run the lottery, run the draw, and also grow it. And an investment is required to actually grow your supporters. The return on this type of lottery essentially is the greatest in the long run, but however, you should really not underestimate how much resource, also expertise, so you need the license and to be fully compliant, but also the financial investment to actually grow your numbers. Typically, it would take around 5 years plus to actually see a return on the investment you're going to make. And I've got a little bit, it's probably a little bit too small to really see all the details, but it gives you a little bit of an idea. This is a model of a DIY lottery, if you were to do it yourself. So there's costs to consider, such as the prize pot. Now, this model is based on just a very small weekly prize pot of just over £1,400, which is not as attractive as some other lotteries out there. But it has that prize pot in there, so there's marketing costs to consider, especially when you're looking at digital growth. There's obviously admin costs for the actual running of the draws and speaking to your supporters. The biggest costs in there would be your recruitment, so actually having the boots on the ground, whether they are employed by yourselves or agencies, to find your new supporters. You've also got your salaries in there for your staff to run the draws for you. Professional fees and licenses, so they're fairly hefty fees also to have gambling licenses, and there's a couple of different licenses that you would probably want to consider, such as non-remote licenses, which allows you to speak directly to people, to sell lottery subscriptions to them, as well as remote, which allows you to acquire subscriptions players through phone or through website. Then you've got obviously transaction charges. The majority of lottery players will probably play by direct debit or by card payment, so there's charges for that. And then at the bottom you can see the income, and as you can see, unfortunately for a DIY lottery, it probably wouldn't actually give you a return on your investment within the first 5 years. So there is definitely more of a long-term investment. What this model doesn't include, that's one more thing to consider, is the actual platform to run the lottery on. The costs really, really vary from platform to platform. And one thing to consider is that some of the better platforms do have thresholds in place, so they don't necessarily work with smaller lotteries. So another way that you could have a lottery is by working with an ELM, which is an electronic lottery managers platform. Essentially for this, you do not need a non-remote license, but you do still require a remote license if you would like to sell over the phone or through a website. The official promoter of the lottery would be the ELM. But to make sure that you are compliant when you are promoting the lottery, it is very, very important to truly understand gambling laws. The return on this type of lottery is lower than when having your own lottery, as a percentage would be paid to the ELM platform for processing and the running of the draw. So this type of lottery does allow charities to still earn a fairly high pence in every pound a lottery player would pay to you. But to actually drive the numbers and to really create an income, you would need to quite heavily invest into the recruitment, so to really get the numbers. And obviously that would be investment into the recruitment and in marketing. quite a few smaller charities in the UK have their own little lotteries that are fairly stagnant or perhaps declining because they don't invest enough into the growth. Then another lottery type to consider is society lotteries. So Make a Smile Lottery and Your Hospice Lottery essentially are society lotteries. For these, partners do not require a gambling license. So the compliance and the license sits with the actual society. Not all society lotteries work in the same way. Some offer a higher a royalty, so a percentage in the pound raised, but then they charge separately for the recruitment and the marketing activities, which is obviously quite a big investment needed. Make a Smile and Your Hospice Lottery, which we represent, obviously they do include the recruitment and they work via whatever channel works best by partner. So for some, face-to-face works really well, others, telesales works well, and for others, digital sales is better, so we use all of them and they're all included. So essentially our partners don't need to make any financial investments and very, very limited resources needed for them to be part of the platform. And partners then start earning an income, a royalty from the very first draw. So this is just two little models, little case studies that gives you a bit of an idea of what that difference is. So we have got some partners that had their own small lotteries with ELM platforms. And like I mentioned already, they were stagnant or perhaps declining because they weren't investing enough staff resource and or financials into it to grow it. So you can see your hospice lottery partner with 3 years prior to joining the platform, they had a small annual income and that was slowly declining. And then you can also see a national charity partner again with a fairly small annual income, slowly declining as not enough resource and money was being put into it. But you can see the clear difference straight away from the moment they joined the platform, where the investment is then being made on their behalf to recruit new players and for them to start receiving an income straight away. Just to really to recap, mainly on the compliance and resource side, what each type of lottery needs from you, basically, if you want to start one. So there is, with regards to the licenses, I mentioned the non-remote license essentially is required if you want to have your own lottery. If you're going to join an ELM or a society, that wouldn't be needed for you. The remote gambling license would be needed, obviously, if you have your own lottery as well as with an ELM, but again, with a society is not required. With that comes the monthly gambling submissions. So obviously all the paperwork, all the submissions would be done for you if you're part of a society lottery. With an ELM, it would be done for you, but input is definitely needed. And for your own lottery, naturally, you would need to do that yourself. Same with regards to compliance, and I've put a little quote on the side there from the Gambling Commission. They take compliance very, very seriously, and a breach can result into criminal action. So it's something to take very, very seriously. If you are going to run your own lottery or be part of an ELM where you are the promoter, it's very important to invest time and resource into training, also all the staff, so that everybody understands what is needed to be compliant. With regards to the lottery platform, obviously that would be included with an ELM and with a society lottery, but again, an investment that you would need to make yourself if you have your own lottery. And as I mentioned already, the resources to actually grow your lottery players, marketing and recruitment would be needed for a DIY or an ELM lottery, but included with a society lottery. So then I just wanted to hand over briefly because I thought it might be interesting for you to hear what it's actually like from the point of view of a charity partner to join the platform. So I'll hand over to Tony.
Thank you. Afternoon, everyone. So I'm Tony, I'm from BLESMA, the Limbless Veterans. Briefly, we're a military charity. What does BLESMA stand for? So it stands for the British Limbless Ex-Servicemen's Association. To take you through all that as an acronym, British, we actually support veterans from other countries. So for example, we have a translator who served alongside British forces in Afghanistan. Limbless, we actually also support people lost the use of limb, for example, through paralysis, through breaking of a neck, neck, breaking of a back, fusing of bones through to high heat. Some of our members still in work. Service men, we actually also support plenty of service women. Women serve in the military and the last 5 years can actually be on the front line. And we also support hundreds of widows. And then we're an association, so we're a membership body as well. And we've got a couple of our members up here. Yep. A couple of our members up here, you'll see Roy over there. Roy was a bank clerk, conscripted into the military or joined the military, Second World War, 7 weeks after D-Day, shell hit his tank, lost both his legs. So we've been supporting him ever since 1944. And then you have Lionel. Lionel was injured in Iraq 20 years ago since the Second Iraq War started. We also support people who are injured outside of conflict, for example, road traffic accidents, ill health. We've got a member who, at the age of 60, a woman who lost three limbs due to sepsis, for example. So we go and support members through home adaptations, social inclusion work, so on and so forth, type of classic charity work. On a personal level, I joined a hospice as head of fundraising back in 2012, so I got to know the good folk at St. Helena fairly early on. It was already a mature income stream for the hospices back then, with canvassers door-to-door, being at events, etc., etc. And then when I arrived at Blesma, we had a lottery. We were part of a lottery. It was raising £3,000 a year, and it was on the way out. There was really no buy-in from the fundraising department because I think we collectively knew that we weren't actually going to make a lot of money out of this. There weren't canvassers, and the ability to win a decent role prize was pretty sparse. So there wasn't a lot of buy-in from us. Fortunately for me, shortly after joining Blesma, one of the marketing people at Make a Smile messaged me on LinkedIn. We joined. They said, "Are you interested?" We met as an organisation. And about 6-7 months later, we signed a contract with Make a Smile, who had just launched, and St. Helena had just launched Make a Smile back in 2017, I think it was. So it was very fortuitous for me personally and for Blesma that Make a Smile was now in existence. One of the things that was really useful as soon as we joined, because we joined in July 2019, was of course the pandemic happened pretty soon afterwards. And there was then that immediate ability of the hospice, the hospice and the lottery to move from what was canvases in shopping centres to then be able to go straight to telesales. And then from telesales, as the restrictions enabled people to go and do door-to-door, and then finally going back to shopping centres, whilst all the while developing a digital infrastructure to go and support. So it was really good for us that it was a very adaptive mode of actually being able to keep fundraising income coming in during that whole period. When I started at Blesma, I said we had about £3,000, and I'll finish up at the end with how much that royalty payment is now worth to give you an idea. The money that we've raised through the lottery essentially has replaced, for example, our entire corporate donation line. I don't know how other charities have got on with corporate fundraising during the pandemic, but personally, it wiped us out. And so it was a new income stream that replaced that virtually like for like. And we have regular meetings. It's a partnership. We are a partner along with all the other partners. What that means is we meet, we discuss. They can be fairly frank at times, which is great. But we go and work that through. We try to work on how we can develop marketing as well. It's a good organisation to work with. But I'm sure you wanted to know what does it actually mean on an income basis. So when we started, the very first royalty payment that we got, was £600. So 3 months, and you can imagine, you've just joined the fundraise department, you've made a big thing about, well, we're going to join this lottery, we can do some great guns, and you get 600 quid. So your colleagues type of look at you like, what on earth have you done? We've got more work. We're having to go and handle people to verify that this is legitimate. Supporters want to know it's legitimate. We've got more work as a fundraising team. Fortunately, the second royalty payment comes through and it's £6,000. So after 6 months, it's now at £6,000. That royalty payment has gone and climbed every quarter since the very first quarter. It went up to £13,000, £40,000. Our most recent royalty payment for a three-month period this year was £53,000. So just let that go in. From the first royalty payment back in 2019 of £600, it's now £53,000 a quarter and will no doubt rise as more people are signed up. One of our challenges is retention, but people are still signing up. We've got more people playing more numbers. It's guaranteed income for us virtually because we've been able to move it from telesales if we've needed to. And you can just see if you've got to get that buy-in, if you're thinking of doing this, what does it mean for you? Well, £53,000 in 3 months with the bulk of the work done by the lottery rather than us. I no longer get people saying, why on earth did we do that? And great thanks to the lottery for doing that. Back to yourselves.
Thank you. So as Tony said, obviously there's a big focus on growing supporters, which gives an ever-increasing income and royalty payments for our partners. But it isn't just money, of course. We also managed to grow the database for Blesma to over 23,000 supporters over the period of 3.5 years. And within that database, 82% overall has given consent for marketing via email. This percentage has actually been increasing and currently stands at 88% for new sign-ups, so that is further increasing. But that's basically 82% out of that nearly 24,000 supporters that Blesma can communicate with. So the opt-in process allows all of our charity partners to communicate with their supporters about anything related to the charity, so they can communicate with them around any other fundraising opportunities, volunteering, events, anything else. We process the data, but our partners actually control it, so they keep the data and communicate. We have regular meetings with our partners, and obviously we also send them their data on a monthly basis, and that includes details such as geographical locations, how supporters have signed up, as well as their age range, allowing our partners to also have a bit more insight as to who their supporters are and how to best communicate with them. So for Blesma, how did we do this? Over the 3.5 year period, we invested over 1.7 million to recruit new supporters for the partner. So this kind of puts it into perspective how for a charity, that would be a significant investment to make, but obviously they haven't actually had to do that. We've done that for them. 85% of the recruitment of new supporters was done for them via face-to-face recruitment in over 40,000 street hours. For some of our partners, other recruitment methods work better, but for a partner such as Blesma, the face-to-face method has worked really well. We have also recruited approximately 10% of their supporters through telesales. A large percentage of that was done during the lockdown periods, where we decided to not sit still and let supporters decline and income decline for our partners, but switch to a different method that still allowed us to grow income. And for Blesma, 5% has been recruited via digital campaigns. However, that percentage is growing currently, so that is going to increase a lot over the next couple of years as we invest more in digital development. Which brings me on to my next slide. So for some of our partners, like I say, face-to-face and telemarketing has worked really well, but we have recognised that obviously the behaviour of supporters has been changing, and also there's a real opportunity to attract new and younger supporters through digital development. To achieve this, we have invested in new technology, a business intelligence team, and also we've done extensive research and we've invested in digital marketing. So the first thing we've done is we have looked at the platform. So many lotteries still operate in quite an archaic way. People need to write in or call to make changes to their supporter details or their subscriptions. Prizes are sent via checks in the post. Imagine what that's like for a young supporter. They probably wouldn't even know what to do with it anymore. It's a piece of paper. Playing the lottery was very often also the only way that could be done was via direct debits. Again, that could alienate certain supporters. So we do still offer all these options, and there's a great value in still having subscription via direct debit and have that commitment. So we do encourage that. But having other options available obviously is a way making sure not to alienate younger supporters. So in 2021 and 2022, we migrated our platforms onto the Jumbo platform. This new platform allows supporters to create and manage their own online accounts like you would do for any other online retailers. Winnings can be claimed via directly into their bank accounts, and also supporters have different options on how to play the lottery and support their chosen charity. So with that, it also allowed us to look at the inclusion of play. So research shows, and you can see a little bit from the recent Black Belt Benchmark report, that the vast majority of supporters prefer to give to charities on a one-off basis rather than a regular gift. Even for those that give regularly, only 45% of those prefer to do so via automated payments. This means that obviously there's a great opportunity to allow supporters to give in a different way if and when they want to, rather than committing. So the new platform allowed us to have the option of individual tickets. Just think a bit like the National Lottery, you can subscribe or you can buy individual tickets. Same thing, and it can be done online. So it allows us to attract a different supporter who doesn't normally want to commit with a direct debit but would like to play every now and again to have that control. It also allows us to stay connected with any supporters who may have had to cancel in recent months or in the last year due to financial restrictions. And it also allows us to really boost our partners' income when the rollovers build up, allowing people to have that extra chance to play. Another thing that we've done within our digital development is the investment in our business intelligence team. So we really understand the power of data, and this has allowed us to streamline the data for all of our partners. I mentioned earlier on already, we're delving deeper into that, giving our partners a better understanding of who their supporters are. It allows us to make data-driven decisions when it comes to recruitment and marketing. It allows us to identify the best possible lottery supporter for each partner and where we can find them. And it also allows us to identify each persona supporter, so who they are, what they're like, and how they want to be communicated with. So around this personas, we've done some work around there to really improve the conversion and retention. It's very important that we really understand and know our supporters. So we've done extensive research, we've done many surveys, and we have created these supporter personas. It allows us to take into consideration not just the demographics and the ages, but also their interests, their hobbies, their motivations, and their preferred communication channels. And through this, that it's really improved our agile marketing. So it allows us to identify the right tone of voice and the right communication channel for each supporter, which then in return means we can invest more into the digital campaigns to grow supporters for all of our partners through digital marketing. And you can see a little snapshot there, the kind of the depth of the research that we have done, the surveys that we have done. It gives us a much bigger insight as to what moves each supporter in the different persona groups. So this has kind of come to the end of our presentations. We hope to have given you a little bit of an insight of what it would be like to raise money through lottery, the different options that are available. And if anybody has any questions, we'd be happy to take them.